Good morning. I'm Nitin Agarwal from the University of Wisconsin. And I'll continue with two trends from the session. First, I'm going to present a study which has lasted 5 years, and I'm going to show you lots of graphs. So today I'll be talking about our 5-year study of file system metadata. This is work done at Microsoft Research with Bill Berlosky, John Dussor, and Jay Lorch. For 5 years, we collected annual snapshots of Windows PC file systems from Microsoft Corporation. We studied these snapshots for temporal trends for several file system parameters of interest. In this talk, I'll highlight some of our results and where were applicable, giving examples of lessons learned for file system designers and related software. The motivation for this work grew from the lack of any substantial study of file system contents over a large period of time. In this work, we did a longitudinal analysis of file systems. Longitudinal analysis is one which is focused on how file system content evolves over a period of time. And this analysis is useful for a number of reasons, such as testing hypotheses, driving simulations, validating benchmarks, or stimulating new insights. We also believe that results from our analysis are of interest to several sets of people who rely on file system information, especially how content evolves over time. Some examples of such users include developers of file systems, storage capacity planners, disk manufacturers, and developers of file system utilities, such as antivirus software, content indexing, backup software, and visualization software. This is the first large-scale analysis of file system contents over time. Our contributions are threefold. First, we present all our observations on temporal trends for several file system parameters of interest. Second, we present a generative model which explains the process of how file system namespace is created. Our model is simple and also explains how directory size is distributed with namespace depth. Finally, we intend to make our collected data set publicly available later this year. This is the largest data set of file system metadata and also spans the longest time period for such a substantial collected data set. This is the outline for the rest of my talk. I'll begin with describing the methodology for data collection. I'll then move on to our results section, which is where I'm going to focus most of the time for this talk. In the results section, we have broadly categorized the results according to how space in the file system is used, the properties of files and directories, and year-to-year changes in file systems. I'll then present our namespace model and conclude. The sample population of our file system snapshots consists entirely of Microsoft employees. We took the snapshots in the Microsoft corporate campus at Redmond. The snapshots were collected based on voluntary participation. We have metadata from over 63,000 unique file systems. They contain over 4 billion files and represent file data worth 700 terabytes. The file systems are primarily NTFS, although we do have some FAT32 and FAT file systems as well. As I mentioned, the study is over a period of 5 years, from the year 2000 to 2004. For every year, we have roughly 10 to 15,000 distinct snapshots. Over the course of the 5-year period, we have about 6,500 file systems that provide snapshots in multiple years. This is important because it allows us to do such studies as monitor file growth or file system increment fullness. I'll now begin with our results section. We first look at how file system space is used. For these set of results, I'll first show the graph, which is a histogram of bytes by containing file size. By this we mean how file system space is distributed in terms of the files that contain those bytes. The x-axis on this graph shows the containing file size in bytes. We use a logarithmic scale and power of 2 bins. The y-axis represents the use space per file system in megabytes. There are two interesting trends. First, we see that the distribution of file size has shifted to the right over the period of 5 years. And second, we note the emergence of a second peak. There's a clear trend that over the 5-year sample period, the histogram of bytes shows a second peak which is emerging around the 1 gigabyte file size range. Another important thing to note from this graph is that, which I'll talk about later, is that median file size is still 4 KB. Which means most of the files in the file system are not even visible on this graph, and they belong to the far left side of the graph, and only a tiny fraction of files in the file system contribute to a much larger fraction of the total storage space. In fact, another interesting thing to note from this graph is that some of these large files, typically the 1 gigabyte files, contribute to around a gigabyte space in the file system, which means that on an average, these large files are about one per file system. To study the emergence of the second peak, we break down the second peak in terms of the file extensions that contribute to this peak. This figure shows this breakdown for the year 2004. We note that the second peak is comprised almost entirely of files of three categories: blobs, database, and video files. Blob files are binary large object files. This result has two implications. First, some file extension candidates are candidates for larger block sizes. And second, since we found that most files are still 4 KB or smaller, it is useful to co-locate these small files and the metadata to improve disk performance. To summarize the finding for file sizes, we find that although file size distribution has relatively unchanged over the period, there still are a large number of small files. Most bytes are now found in increasingly larger files. The median file size has not changed over the period. In fact, Satya's work in 1981 found that median file size is 4K. It has continued to hold on to that during my entire lifetime. Even for our sample, we found that the median file size still remains around 4 KB. We think this is a pretty neat result. Although mean increase in the file size distribution is roughly 15% per year. We know the emergence of a second peak is a distribution for containing bytes, the second peak becoming pronounced around the 1 gigabyte file size range. And there are few file types which are responsible for the emergence of this peak. I now move on to describing our results for properties of files and directories. In this subsection, I'll talk about file and directory count, file age, popular file extensions, and the degree of file modification. The figure shows the directory count as a cumulative distribution function. On the x-axis, we have the directory count on logarithmic scale. We note that over the 5-year period, the directory count has increased steadily. This is true even for the file count. The implication from this result is that metadata tables should continue to scale to large file counts. And whole file system scans, such as those performed by virus scanners or metadata integrity checkers, will take progressively longer. It is important to design these applications efficiently. I now move on to our findings for file age. We found that over our sample period, the median file age lies between 80 and 160 days, with no clear trend over time. Since the distribution of file age is not memoryless, it serves as a useful predictor for the remaining lifetime of the file. We found from our study that this distribution has not changed appreciably over the years. Hence, any prediction algorithms that are developed today will continue to be applicable for several years. This is useful to know, for instance, by archival systems to predict how much longer a file is likely needed before deciding to move it on to a slower storage. I now begin with the results for popular file extensions. The first graph that I'm going to show you shows the popular file extensions by file count. For the 5 years, we show the popular file extensions. The y-axis shows the percentage of files that exhibit that file extension. We note that GIF files continue to be the most popular files in terms of count, although the relative popularity of web content has relatively decreased, as shown by the decreasing trend for HTMs and GIFs. Top view extensions have not changed dramatically over their sample period. The next graph shows the popular file extensions by the bytes that are contained in those extensions. Again, we note that DLLs, or dynamic link libraries, continue to be the most popular file extension by bytes, although VHDs, or virtual hard drives, are consuming an increasing fraction of the overall storage space, confirming our hypothesis that virtual machine usage is on the rise. Other notable entries on this figure are PDB, which are the symbol table for debugging, PST files, which are Outlook mail files, and MP3 files. Hence, we see that the top few extensions account for nearly half of all files and bytes and are relatively stable across the sample period. Hence, developing special case treatment for these few extensions could lead to significant improvements for a larger fraction of the file system. I'll now present the results for the degree of file modification. This figure shows the percentage of unwritten files for the 5 years. I define the percentage of unwritten file as follows. Since the file, the time from when the file is copied onto the file system, if it's not modified, we treat the file as an unwritten file. We see that this trend is continuously on the rise over the 5-year period. Since users locally contribute to a decreasing fraction of the file system content, more and more file content is being copied across file systems. Thus, coalescing identical copies becomes more important. This is especially true for peer-to-peer or distributed environments where file systems are aggregated. I'll now move on to our results for year-to-year changes in file systems. If you remember, I mentioned that 6500 file systems provides us snapshots in multiple years. And it is using these snapshots that we keep track of files and file systems across years. Within this subsection, I present results related to file system fullness increase and file system capacity and usage. I begin with our results for file system fullness increase. We define the term fullness increase as follows. If a file system is 50% full in the first year and 60% full in the second year, we define it to have an increase of 10 percentage points. The figure here shows the fullness increase as a cumulative distribution function. Towards the right, we see a positive increment, whereas on the left, the fullness increase is negative, or the fullness decreased. In this figure, we show that over a 1-year period, roughly 80% of the file systems show an increase in fullness, whereas roughly 20% file systems show a decrease. To quantify the increase in fullness, we study the second graph, which shows that most file systems exhibit an increase of between 0 to 20%. In fact, we found that the mean increase in fullness is roughly 14%. We also studied the factors that contributed to this mean increase and found the 28% increase is due to a new files being created. There is a decrease in 15% due to files being deleted. And there is a significantly, small contribution due to file growth. Continuing on with our results for fullness increase, we also study the distributions for these created and deleted files and found that they do not differ from overall file size distribution. We had hypothesized that users tend to delete larger files in order to make room for local content, but our results do not support this hypothesis. Second, since the overall distribution of file size does not change from 1 year to another, if a file system designers find it useful to allocate different regions of disk based on file sizes, such allocation strategies can continue to be applied for several years. We also studied file system fullness changes over larger periods, such as a 2-year period, and found that the mean increase is less than twice the increase for a 1-year period. Hence, as file system ages, the fullness increases at a slower pace. Our trends for this fullness increase serve as coarse estimates of when file systems fill up. It is useful, for instance, for storage capacity planners to decide when a file system might become unavailable or when to add more storage capacity. It is also useful to know for peer-to-peer systems to make a decision when to offload data to a different peer. I now move on to our results for file system capacity and usage. This figure shows the CDFs of file system capacity over the 5-year period. We notice that file system capacity has increased dramatically over the 5-year sample. In fact, the arithmetic mean has increased from 8 gigabytes to 46 gigabytes from 2000 to 2004. The percentage of file systems having 4 gigabyte or less space have pretty much gone extinct. However, when we see the file system space usage, we find that the space usage has kept pace with the available capacity. In fact, user data tends to scale with the available capacity. And storage manufacturers can continue their focus on increasing capacity because users will always find ways to fill up whatever hard disk space they are given with. The next graph shows our CDFs for file system fullness. And here also we observe that although the mean fullness has dropped by very small fractions, file systems still continue to be nearly half full on average. I now move on to describing our namespace model. So a namespace depth model is, we propose a namespace depth model that explains how file system namespace is created. This model accounts for For instance, at what depth in the file system tree, how many directories will be located? First of all, why do we need such a model? Although Poisson distribution fits our observed distributions for the namespace depth, it does not give any explanation as to why namespace is created in such a way. Our model, on the other hand, explains the process of directory tree creation. It's a simple generative model that also explains the distribution of directory size and of directory depth. According to our model, a directory D is chosen as a parent with probability proportional to CD plus 2, where CD is the count of existing subdirectories for a directory D. Intuitively, the model can be explained as follows. If a directory already has existing subdirectories, then it has been demonstrated as a useful location for subdirectories. Greater the count of subdirectories in any given directory, the more attractiveness of the directory as serving a parent for a future directory creation. If you just have the term CD, then any empty directory can never become non-empty. Hence, an offset value is needed. And for our distributions, we found that the offset value of 2 matched the distributions very closely. So beginning with a file system with an empty root directory, directories are added one at a time. And according to our model, the probability of a parent being chosen, the probability for a new directory creation and the parent being chosen can be explained by this model. More details for this model can be found in the paper. I now give one example of how this namespace depth model provides accurate results for explaining observed data. This graph shows the directory count with namespace depth. On the x-axis, we have the namespace depth with bin sizes of 1, and the y-axis, we have average number of directories per file system. We show this distribution for all 5 years, but plot our model for the year 2004. We note that the model fits the observed data very closely and also provides a very intuitive explanation of how the namespace is created. I now move on to our conclusions. We performed a 5-year study of file system metadata and found several interesting trends pertaining to temporal aspects of file system parameters. In particular, we found that a few large files contribute to an increasing fraction of overall storage space. These few large files are ideal candidates for larger block sizes. We also found that most files are still 4 KB or smaller. Hence, it is useful to collocate these files with metadata to improve performance. Locally modified file fraction has decreased over the years, and we believe that more and more file content is being copied across file systems, and coalescing and identifying these copies is becoming more important. Few extensions account for nearly half of all files and bytes. Hence, developing special case optimizations for these file extensions can improve file system performance by a larger fraction. Fifth, file system fullness growth slows with aging. Our results for the trends for file system fullness serve as useful predictors for when file systems might become unavailable and are useful for storage capacity planners. File systems continue to be nearly half full. Even though we see dramatic increase in available storage capacity, user data continuously scales with the available capacity. Hence, disk manufacturers need not worry about how large disks are going to be and how users might use the disk. Finally, we contribute a simple model which explains the process of namespace creation. This model explains how directories are distributed with depth and also accounts for the distribution of directory sizes. We find this model fits the observed data very closely. Before wrapping up the talk, I would like to mention a few takeaway points from this work that we would like you to remember. First, from our study, we find significant temporal trends for several parameters of interest. Although some parameters scale along expected lines, such as file and directory counts, we see some very surprising developments, especially for file bytes and extensions. There are useful lessons to be learned for developers of file systems and related software. And we encourage you all to read the paper before starting on your next piece of file system research. Thank you.
Hi, Erez the Doc, Stony Brook University. So most users start creating files in their My Documents or desktop or home directory, and at some point when they type DRLS or something and it scrolls way off their screen, they decide maybe to get organized mm-hmm. and create subfolders and start moving files into some places. Do you have any numbers or any data that can show these kind of trends kind of organization, like how many files they had and how much did they get organized in creating subdirectories?
So we did perform analysis of these special directories within the Windows namespace and found there's a larger fraction of files and both in terms of file count and the bytes that are contained in these files. Applications are increasingly adopting Windows prescriptive namespace. So in this graph, you see that the documents and setting folders is contributing to a larger fraction of bytes over the five-year sample period. For file count, the count was pretty much stable, but for the system folders such as Windows or program files, which is not very clear on this graph, we also show that the bytes that contribute to these special directories is on the rise. So our hypothesis is that more and more applications are making use of the Windows prescriptive namespace.
Ilya Usvetsky, MC. I just wanted to ask you about...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay, I'll try again. Ilya Usvetsky, MC. I just wanted to ask you about the data that you have collected. Was it mostly from the desktop computers, and what is the percentage of servers versus desktops? And also, if you're looking at the utilization of those systems, were those mostly the development stations, or documentation stations,
right,
or home PCs, mm-hmm. or whatever?
So as I mentioned, the data comes almost entirely from the Microsoft corporate campus. So yes, we do have a developer bias in our sample. And the second question was whether these are PC or server snapshots. They're almost entirely Windows PC snapshots because, as I learned in Microsoft, at least in the Redmond campus, most files or most user data is stored individually on PCs rather than on centralized servers. So this snapshot is predominantly from PC systems.
So no similar data for, say, large Exchange servers or large MSSQL servers?
For this study, we do not have data from shared servers. We were considering using data from home environments, but even getting this data is an enormous challenge to just get the data because you have to go through a whole process to, you know, just get the snapshots approved and initiate the process. So getting them for home environments was something that we considered, but found it too hard to get a comparable data set of such size, which we could correlate with our results from this finding.
And another question, kind of unrelated. Do you have any idea of how much of those machines used any replication of sorts?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
Do you have any idea out of those desktops, what was the percentage that used any type of protection like replication or CDP involved?
You mean like...
Using any replication products or...
Oh, replication.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm aware of any quantific data on how much of those file systems had any replication. But one thing that we, again, it's kind of a bias in our sample is the sample suffers from whatever corporate policy that Microsoft has. So if there is some centralized policy for replication, that will be affecting the sample's snapshots. But
thank you.
I don't have any quantitative data from that.
Thank you very much.
So Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. I have a methodological question. So... most of us nowadays, when we get a shiny new machine, we very often get that machine with a shiny new operating system, but then we move over all of our old data from the old machine, and our data continues to live. So these 6,500 systems where you checked the same file system over multiple years, were any of those file systems where the users had expanded the disk using this method of copying stuff mm-hmm. over, or when people copied stuff over, did you consider it to be a new file system?
That's a good question. So what I didn't talk about in this talk was our measure of sameness for files and file systems. So the way we use, and this is not a well-formed notion, so for the purposes of our study, for files, we use the full path name as a measure of sameness. And for file systems, we use a combination of drive ID, volume ID, username, computer name, and the available capacity. So, for instance, if a file system, if capacities added, we do not count this as the same file systems.
Ed Gould from Sun. You said a couple times that the median file size has stayed constant at about 4K, but mm-hmm. you also said some things that don't seem to be consistent with that, like most of the files are less than 4K, and some other things. Can you reconcile that a little bit?
So I don't have a graph which shows the distribution of file file size distribution.
Well, how can half of them be less than 4K and most of them be less than 4K?
You mean this graph?
Well, if the median file size is 4K, that says that half of the files are smaller than 4K and half are larger.
Mm-hmm.
If most of the files are less than 4K, that doesn't fit.
I guess my quantification for most would be 50% in that case.
My question is similar to the one that was asked earlier in terms of, I realize you're on the Microsoft campus and it's predominantly developers. Mm-hmm. Were you able to segregate at all, you know, developers and non-developers, or notice any difference in the
distribution? So we had a previous work, which this work is an extension of a previous work done by some of the co-authors in 99. And in that work, we did look at how the files and file systems are coming from different tasks, like developers or administrators. But for the purpose of study, we focused almost entirely on temporal trends. So we did not do a classification based on, but we do have that information, and as and when we release the data set, other people are welcome to look at those trends.
Hi, Eduardo Pinheiro, Google. About the 4K medium file, do you have any insight why that is? Is that because users really are storing 4K bytes, or because there's an artifact of the block size being 4K?
My first guess would be that it could be an artifact of the 4K, although I have to admit we don't have a clear reasoning now.
Do your applications store multiple 4K files? Is that true? Would that be true? The applications are actually building files that are 4K in size for some reason?
I would have to guess at this point, so I don't know if I can give you an answer.
John Wilkes, HP Labs. How much unique data is in your 60,000 systems?
In terms of the number of file systems, or?
So you've got 60,000 copies of Windows and 60,000 copies mm-hmm. of Office. And
right.
This is wonderful news for people who make disk drives. But for those of us interested in information management rather than byte management, it would be really good to know how many different file signatures you have. So maybe the next time when you gather data, you might want to gather
some
signatures.
That's something which is useful. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Thank you all.